Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, you have sent your Spirit, O God, to take us into realities, O God, far beyond our comprehension, Father. Realities, O God, that you have sanctioned, O God, for each one of us to discover in a lifetime that is going to stretch into all eternity, Lord. There's a whole universe alive in the Spirit of the living God that we are meant to realize in the name of Jesus, through the witness and testimony of Jesus, through what your word describes into our inward parts. Today, Father, as we talk about spiritual gifts, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to understand, Lord, that when you talk about us functioning by the Holy Spirit in the ministries that you want to develop in our lives, it is that partnership with the Holy Spirit that you are concerned with, Lord. It is that ability to live and move and have our being by the Spirit in the name of Jesus that you are concerned with, Lord. It is learning how to do something by the Holy Spirit, learning how to respond to the Holy Spirit, learning how to realize that which is of Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit that you are concerned with, Lord. So open our hearts, Lord, that we will understand that you have given us the Spirit of the living God to indwell us forevermore. That the purpose of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is to teach us all things, Lord. All things that you have given us in the name of Jesus. All things that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ as an inheritance and as a possession, Lord. All things that you mean to develop in us who are called the sons of the living God, whether we are male or female, Lord. Father, open our hearts to understand that learning and to function by your Spirit is crucial, O God, to the purpose of the ministry that you have for each one of us. We ask you to teach us, we ask you to enable us to understand, and above all, O God, that you will teach us to be patient, Lord, and wait, O God, for you to unveil the ability to function by the Holy Spirit. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 48, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16. This is part of the prophets, and this is what it reads. Come near to me, listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. Prophetic word. He's not just talking about Israel, he's talking about the church. 2,000 years of Christianity has gone by. And these same words stand as a reality over the church. The person who is speaking is God the Word. And he's saying that the Lord God has sent him and his Spirit. And then he addresses himself as the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being would have been like a river. And Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. John chapter 7. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has been sent so that our well-being will be great, so that our descendants would have been like the sand and your offspring like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from my presence. The only way we can be alive to God is by the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely necessary for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is necessary to us as Jesus Christ is necessary to us and as God the Father is necessary to us. The Holy Spirit is not someone who is a lesser part of the person of God. You cannot live, you cannot function in eternity without the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of Life. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus will set you free from the law of sin and death. That's what Romans 8, 2 says. So without the Holy Spirit, the reality of life, the life that comes from God, will never come alive to you. You know what life means? Everything that we think and do, everything that we feel, everything that we function in as beings. Life is what makes us tick in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Life. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live. Ministry is communicating the life of God. Ministry is communicating the life of God according to what God has gifted you to do, according to what God has intended to manifest in your being. And all that has to be developed in you by the Holy Spirit. It cannot be developed by the letter of the law. It cannot be developed by the intellect of man. It cannot be developed by human strength and human intelligence and human brilliance. It can only be manifested by God. Everything is sourced in God, and everything that is sourced in God is brought alive to us by the Holy Spirit. You cannot come alive to anything in God without the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Life. He is also the Spirit of Truth. Let's turn to John chapter 14. From verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. See, it's so important for you to understand that he will be with you forever. That is why God has given us the Holy Spirit, so that he will be with us forever. Not just for a moment in time when we raise up our hands and we worship God, or not just in a moment of time when you just speak in tongues. Forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. And this is what sets us apart from everything else in the world that we live in. We are a people chosen to receive the Spirit of Truth, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him. You are called to know him. To know means to have an intimacy with him. Because he abides with you and will be in you. If you have been spirit baptized, you have received the reality of the Holy Spirit within you. You can function with him, by him, and through him at all times, at the speed of thought. Now you have to discover that yourself. It is pointless if it is just written there in that book. You have to find out that you can function by the Holy Spirit. That is your job. That is part of your growth process. Jesus said, if you want something, you ask for it. Jesus said, if you want to discover something, you seek it out. Jesus said, if you want something to be opened to you, you knock at the door of his heart, and it will be opened to you. He said, all that you ask will be given to you. All that you seek, you will find. All that you knock to open will be open to you. It only is a question of time. So many of us are in a hurry. 2,000 years have gone by, just exactly how much have we done in terms of ministry in the world that we live in? And we still think we must be in a hurry. God is more concerned that we get it right, that we do it by Him and not by ourselves. That is what He is concerned with. That's what He is concerned with. Do it the right way. And God can cause an avalanche to come forth if you do it the right way. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Grace. You find that in the book of Hebrews in a very terrifying context. But I just want to pick that phrase, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. Let's turn to Hebrews 10. From verse 26. Like I said, the context here is judgment, but I just want to pick out the fact that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. For if we go on sinning willfully, verse 26, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment. Verse 28, anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Verse 29, how much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of Grace? I just want to take that reality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Grace. What does that mean? For us to understand grace, for us to function in grace the right way, we need to be alive to the Holy Spirit. We've talked about a whole bunch of things about going into ministry. We've talked about the callings of God. We've talked about the different classes of ministry that God has for us as the body of Christ. Now, all that is not going to come alive to you unless you are prepared to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He's the teacher. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ said that. John chapter 16. Verse 13, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Not some of the truth, all the truth. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. We minister the gift. Jesus is the gift. The different types of gifts just give expression to the awesomeness of Jesus Christ. If you are a pastor, you stand in an office that has been described in Jesus Christ. The reality, the blueprint for a pastor comes out of the heart and character and nature of Jesus Christ. It does not come out of a book. It comes out of Him. And it is the Holy Spirit who will express Him. If you want to be an evangelist, Jesus Christ is the blueprint of an evangelist. If you want to be a prophet, then Jesus Christ is the blueprint for a prophet. If you want to be a teacher, Jesus Christ is the blueprint of the teacher. Not if you want to be, if you're called to be. Yeah? In the same way, if you want to prophesy the right way, then Jesus Christ is the blueprint of someone who prophesies perfectly. So the reality of prophesying comes out of the nature and character and witness and testimony of Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to you. You cannot intellectually try and understand it, because it is not of your intellect, it is not of your nature, it is not of your character. Jesus Christ is entirely unlike you and me. Jesus Christ is entirely unlike you and me. He is God's blueprint for a new human being. Absolutely and totally. There are no ifs and buts. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal Jesus Christ to you. Only the Holy Spirit can unveil that fullness of Jesus Christ and work it into you so that you become what God wants you to become. If you want to be a good man in the real sense of the word, that word good stands in the character, nature, witness, and testimony of Jesus Christ. It does not stand in you and it does not stand in me. If you're going to realize that word good in your own life, in your own character, in your nature, you have to realize it out of Jesus Christ. And the only person who can bring that realization into you is God the Holy Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Now, God is made up of three persons in a triune unity. The Holy Spirit is to be loved with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. What does that tell you? The Holy Spirit can be known with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. He's not some hyper-emotional experience. When the seed of Christ was planted in your heart, it was the Holy Spirit who did that work in you. And you were born again. You were born again by water and the Spirit. And so you and I need to know the Holy Spirit. You can't just apply your intellect to the Bible and think you're going to go out and save the whole world. You will mislead the whole world. You will make them in your own image, which probably will be worse than where they are right now. Why? Because you would have taught them to do something the wrong way. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. What does that mean? That truth belongs to the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God can communicate truth. The truth that sets captives free. Sets them free from what? Sets them free from every form of sin, transgression, and iniquity. Iniquity is habitual sin. The Spirit of the living God is also called the Spirit of Christ. He gives expression to Christ in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is a reality brought into you and me by the Holy Spirit. So he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you, Jesus says. So it's so important for you to understand that you need to find out all you can about the Holy Spirit. Now, traditional Christian theology tells you that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Orthodox theology says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. Now, you can argue about that, but it doesn't really matter, really. Take the two together and you've got a nice picture of it all. Right? But the Holy Spirit is someone you have to discover from God the Father. And you can only discover the Holy Spirit in the way in which Jesus Christ functioned by the Holy Spirit all the time. If you read through the Gospels, there are many things that Jesus was communicating that are not written in the Scriptures. He perceived the thoughts of other people. How did he perceive it? By the Holy Spirit. He knew what they were saying. He could see their hearts. He functioned by the Holy Spirit. Right from childhood, he grew up by the Holy Spirit. If the Messiah, the Word made flesh, had to function by the Holy Spirit, how much more do you and I need to function by the Holy Spirit? But so often we think the Holy Spirit is some hyper-emotional experience. We can't do our own thing. Man's fundamental problem is doing our own thing. We have to learn how to live by the Lord. I know there is a part of us that does not want it. But just because you don't want it does not mean that you don't need it. You and I need to learn how to live by God. You and I need to learn how to do all things by God. So training for ministry. Don't just rush off and say, I'm going to do this and I can do this and I can do that. It's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do with you. Huh? When you're in ministry, you're going to deal with people's lives. If you don't know how to deal with people's lives, you can destroy them. This is not a fun thing or a game thing. This is serious kingdom business. And you must know what you are doing by the Holy Spirit. And you must know what are the boundaries of what you are called to do and what you are not called to do. Just because you can do something doesn't mean God wants you to be there. Or just because you think it's a great idea doesn't mean it's a God idea. So you and I have to learn. We have to learn. Where do we start? We learn from kindergarten. That's where we start. Why must it be different in the kingdom of God? You want to go to graduate school before you have even learned your ABCs. How on earth can that happen? Such a hurry. I'm 48 years old. I only have a few years more left. Well, brother, you're not going to help anything by rushing into it. You better sit down and learn. You better find out what God wants you to do. Get it right. You've got ministry in eternity to do. So you've got to learn how to establish things the right way. Everything has to be established in the name of Jesus. Everything has to be established for the glory of God. Now, who is going to teach you that? The Holy Spirit is going to teach you that. What is He going to do to teach you that? He's going to take the blueprint of that reality out of the heart of Jesus, and He's going to work it into you and me. You and I don't know anything about that kind of thing. We don't know what obedience means. We don't even know what worship means. We don't even know what love means. We don't know what wisdom means, knowledge means, understanding means. We pretend that we know. We give each other's degrees and then we say we know something. If we knew something, why is this blooming world such a blooming mess? Huh? If we really knew something, why do we bring up our children and see so many things go wrong in their lives because so many things were not taught to them and developed in their lives the right way? Only God knows. And you and I have to sit down and have the basic common sense to understand that God has to teach us all things. And I've said this before and I'll repeat it again. When we come back to this world in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this world will be an absolute disaster. If you think that you're going to come into a planet that is going to be flourishing, you've got it all mixed up. It's going to be a planet that has been torn apart. And you're going to have to be able to minister to nations that will be on this planet. So there's plenty of ministry to do. Just because you're 80 years old does not mean it's all passed you by. We are on a long journey, brother. We are sons of God. We are the kings that God has ordained and is chosen in the image and fullness of His Son to become the royalty of the future generations. Now, we don't know anything about all those things. We don't have the capacity to be like that. That's why God sent His Son. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to define things for us in Himself. As a blueprint for a new man. That's why He came as the Son of Man. That's why God, the Word, was made flesh, so that the Son of Man could be defined in clear and precise terms, like an engineering blueprint. And that's a crude way to put it. So that everything can be fashioned and formed in His image. Now, to be fashioned and formed in His image and to be brought forth as living sons of the living God, that is the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the one who actually brings out that creation that God wants. The Word of God defines it. The Father ordains it. So if you and I are going to live and move and have our being in God, then the Holy Spirit is fundamental to that entire process. He is our interface with God. If you want to touch the heart of Jesus, you're only going to touch the heart of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Just because you can talk to the Lord Jesus Christ directly and you can feel the Lord Jesus Christ respond to you directly doesn't mean that the whole process does not involve the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go through John 17, when Jesus prayed to the Father and He said, "You and I are one," that whole prayer was by the Holy Spirit. That whole communion between the Father and the Son is by the Holy Spirit. That's why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is death. There is no repentance from that. Because it hits at the very fabric of what unveils God as one God. Echad in the Hebrew. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. A triune unity. A binding. That binding is in the Spirit of the living God. That is His life force. So when God manifests His presence, that presence is unveiled by the Holy Spirit. When God writes His Word into your heart, that is unveiled by the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt that the Word itself is expressed in the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ. But it is the Holy Spirit who communicates the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ into you and me. It is the Holy Spirit who takes that Spirit and life of Jesus and makes realities out of it inside of you and me. Realities that cause us to see, realities that cause us to understand, realities that cause us to know, realities that cause us to sense, perceive, to apply. Everything is by the Holy Spirit. So right from the start, when God breathed into Adam, it was the Spirit of God that was manifested. The Spirit of God is the breath of God. He's the life force of God. And if we say we want to live in eternity, then we are going to live in eternity by the Holy Spirit. We communicate with God at the speed of thought. And that reality of the speed of thought is manifested by the Holy Spirit. And the two shall become one flesh. That reality of becoming one flesh when we are married to our husband who is the Lamb of God. That reality will be manifested by the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is a very peculiar person in the Trinity because He keeps Himself always at the background. But He is involved right in the middle of all things. We are a Spirit-led people, brethren. That's why the battle is always for you to try and learn how to function by the Holy Spirit. The devil has got no problems with you trying your best because he knows he can break your best anytime he feels like it. It's a piece of cake. The bigger the altar of your flesh that you build, the more destructive will be your fall. And he knows exactly how to do it and he knows exactly how to play it. When you fall, he makes sure another 1,000 people come down with you as well. So that's why we need to function by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our strengthener. The Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The one who walks alongside of us. Parakletos. Communion with God is by the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us in a very peculiar way. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's as fundamental as that. If you say that Jesus is Lord with any sense of conviction from your insides, that is because you have been touched by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has manifested that reality within you. It is not because of yourself or myself. What does that tell you? That the Holy Spirit functions in us in many unseen and unperceived ways. And He is there working with us continuously. He's an amazing personality. Most people who do as much work as Him would want to be honored and recognized. The Holy Spirit just does it silently, and the Father and the Son are glorified. Amazing personality. So the spirit of servanthood comes by the Spirit. It is defined in Christ Jesus, but it is made manifest by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. This is important. The Holy Spirit comes to us and He brings forth in us a diversity of gifts. We talked about Jesus being the gift. As the Holy Spirit manifests the fullness of Jesus Christ, He manifests the fullness of Jesus Christ in a diversity of gifts. We have studied from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that all fivefold offices are gifts. Right? Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. All are gifts. You are not entitled to it because you are a wonderful chap. It's a gift. Right? It's a gift given by grace. Now, we've done the gift inclinations, and we've talked about those gift inclinations. And those gift inclinations are developed in you and me by the Holy Spirit. So it's not just your natural inclination. Right? We have done that. So when we talk about the spiritual gifts, you find that the spiritual gifts are given to us in a wide diversity, and they are manifested as an empowerment, as an endowment of supernatural power. And there is a wide diversity. No two prophets are the same. No two pastors are the same. No two people who prophesy the same way. No two people who operate in the word of wisdom function in the same way. No two people who have a discernment of spirits operate in the same way. You see, we are members one of another. We are meant to learn how to function as a team. And I keep repeating that. We have somehow or other been taught that we are individually anointed. That's true. But we are individually anointed to become a partnership. If we are not a partnership, that the fundamental reason for the church is being broken. No man can be anointed to know everything. We all see in part and we prophesy in part. Why does God do that? So that we will learn to understand and value each other. You cannot run a ministry my way. You may sell a million records and sing a nice song and people may think you've done it your way. But you are not the way, by the way. You will never be the way. There is only one person who is the way, and he is Jesus Christ. So learn. Learn that when God puts you in a church, when he starts building partnerships, he's building partnerships so that there will be a manifestation of the diversity of the gifts. There is no shame in saying, I don't know, brother, what do you see? And what do you perceive? In the cheap world which we live in, where everybody wants self-glorification, the appearance that we know everything is very important. Only foolish people think like that. But in the kingdom of God, we recognize what we are. We may be very anointed, but we are all anointed in part. And we are all anointed within boundaries. There are certain things that God has ordained for our lives, and he has good reason for that. And we have to learn how to function as members one of another. All of us have to learn it. You may not like so-and-so. You may not like the color of his skin. You may not like the shape of his body. You may not like the look of his face. But you have to learn how to work with each other, because that's how the kingdom of God is structured. So the Holy Spirit comes with a diversity of gifts. And that diversity of gifts is necessary for the building of the body of Christ. It is also necessary for the fullness of the ministry to flow. So then he then says in verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Let me see the New American Standard. Just one moment, please. Now there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. Now when we started off this whole series on moving into ministry, we took something out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11. And Peter writes there that we minister the gift, or rather the mixture of gifts that we have, or the gift mix that we have. We minister the gift. So there are diversities of giftings. And the way that the varieties of ministries are revealed is as we learn how to use those diversities of gifts and bring out something as a body. Every church has a specific purpose in God. It has a specific design in God. We are called to do something. And we have to find out what we are called to do. We have to find out our part in the overall scheme of things. God orchestrates it. We fall in place where we are required to fall in place. You can't do what you want. Brethren, that is life's lesson, isn't it? Hello. Can you imagine if you bring up children and let them do what they want? You're going to have a disaster in 20 years' time. That's basic common sense. Now, how different can it be in the kingdom of God? We come in, we want to be pastors, and we want to do our own thing. You cannot do your own thing. Come off it, guys. You have a couple of good gifts, and God shows you visions, and you see things, and you see that, and you discern this, and you discern that. And you think you now know everything. No, you don't know everything. Yes, you have a good gift. But if that good gift is not developed in the right context, that same good gift can become a wonderful curse as well. And those same gifts that enable you to see what God is saying can also become a practice of witchcraft. And you can kill people with those gifts. Every gift that Lucifer operates in as Satan came from God. They were perfect gifts at one time. Hmm? He took something called faith, and then he said, I can make myself like the Most High God. Faith gone wrong. Correct? So when you and I exercise faith, it has always got to be in subjection to God. If it's not in subjection to God, if it's not in subjection to the supremacy of God, you and I will end up where Lucy did. Thinking, can you imagine the bloke's thinking? Huh? I can make myself like the Most High God. Not just simply God, Most High God. I can. Don't we repeat those same words in church? I can. It's no longer God can. I can. We bring it into the church and we create havoc with that. I want it done this way. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm the leader. I know exactly what this is. There's always room to listen. Yes, as a leader, you're given the authority to make the final decision. For heaven's sake, listen. There's nothing wrong in listening. You will not lose your leadership position because you sit down and listen to others who are sitting with you. What's wrong with listening? If you're going to build a leadership team, you have to listen to people's viewpoints and then tell them if you think they are wrong. That's part of Christian maturity. So there are varieties of gifts and there are many, many types of ministries. Many types of ministries. And then he says in verse 6, and there are diversities of activities, or in the old King James Bible, it says diversity of operations. So many different ways in which God will bring it out. So in a particular body of Christ, God will bring out operations by the Holy Spirit through the ministry giftings that we have in order to do things, many different facets of things, in a peculiar way. And we have to sit down and learn all these things because we know nothing about it. We are not supposed to bring some preconceived idea from somewhere that we learned in the Harvard Business School and bring it into church and think that God is going to build the church according to the gospel of Harvard. He doesn't need Harvard or Oxford or Cambridge. Yeah, it's all a learning process. Everything has to be wait. Wait on the Lord and understand what He is saying. Yeah. If it takes a couple of years, so be it. Because God is always right. Just like Moses said, if you do not bring your cloud before us and walk before us, we ain't going anywhere. Yeah, that's right. And although God was leading them in circles around the desert, they didn't break out and go their own way. Moses, as long as he was leader, he just said, we will follow the cloud, and that's it. That's the pattern that God has set for us on an individual basis and on a collective basis. And we have to learn how to do this. It doesn't come naturally to us because we are by nature people who do things on our own. Now God wants us to discover what He can do with us. God is building His kingdom. God is building His church. God has chosen us to do a particular thing in His overall plan. And what He has chosen for us to do, we must do it sincerely, honestly, in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that will manifest the Passover. It's a supernatural manifestation. You don't take 2.5 million men, women, and children into the wilderness with no food and water. No intelligent man does that. But God did that. Why did he do that? Very simply, because that's the only way you can pass over into the promised land. Because the promised land is about the brilliance of God. It's not about the brilliance of men. So we have passed over into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is his kingdom. It's a kingdom that operates by grace. It's a kingdom that unveils by relationship. It's a kingdom that in which you are enabled by anointings and giftings and by various types of operations, into various types of operations, so that you can do what God wants you to do. And it's a master plan that God has. It's a privilege to be part of that master plan. So don't muck it up. Because all the promises that the scripture contains is tied to your being willing to bow before God and let him teach you. God's not bothered about mistakes. He's not bothered about honest mistakes. So God is bigger than your mistakes. So don't be afraid of making mistakes. But we have to be able to work together and do things together. We are not here in a competition. It's not about who is anointed more than the other person. Brethren, in the overall scheme of things, it's not about competition. It's not about my anointing versus your anointing. In the overall scheme of things, when God starts manifesting his glory in the body of Christ, your individual anointing and my individual anointing, whether you are Paul or Elijah put together, will be very small compared to what God is doing. See, the picture that God gives is what he showed Father Abraham. He took him out and he said, look at the stars. Now, if you look at the stars individually, they are gigantic balls of fire. But in the context of the heavenlies, they're just little twinkling balls of fire, right? Can you get the picture? Right? In the vastness of the galaxies, can you take out one star and say, oh my goodness, isn't that star wonderful? Do you understand the picture? That's the picture God is giving for the church. So what are we boasting about? I'm so anointed of this and I'm so anointed about that. For heaven's sake, we've got to grow up. You are a morning star. The person sitting next to you is also going to be a morning star. His may take a few more years than you. But ultimately, we all called to be morning stars. And there's only one bright morning star. And if you don't receive the glory that is of him within you, you ain't going to be a morning star. So don't argue about that. If you're going to start a ministry, understand that we are in this together. This is not about who is going to run it. This is about what is going to come out of it at the end of it all. This is not about who is going to be first. It's about who is going to be, it's about the Lord being glorified in it all. Yeah. We are not setting up anything that even resembles the systems of the world. What God is establishing is absolutely and totally different from anything that is of the system of the world. We don't need the systems of the world. We don't need their strategic planning and their strategic thinking. We just need to listen to the Lord, and he will have all the strategies for us to walk into. And as the strategies unveiled by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, you will stand back and say, oh my goodness, did he do all these things? That's God. Wow, I didn't even know he was doing this. And at the end of it all, what does it result in? We worship the Lord. Why do we worship the Lord? Because we are awe-stricken by what God has made out of us. And that's what it's all about. Lucifer only saw himself. That was his big tragedy. He was so impressed with himself. He was so impressed with his anointing, so impressed with his giftings, and he actually thought he was going to be God until God took the whole bunch of them, all the millions of them, and threw them out at the speed of lightning. Can you imagine this great guy who thought he was going to be like the Most High God got thrown out within a nanosecond? So much for his greatness. That's why when we command him to move, he moves. Because he knows how fast God can hit him. He's already experienced it. We, on the other hand, think it's because of us. Ooh. Because we just danced a war dance around, you know, and you know, made a whole bunch of noise that, you know, the devil heard the noise and he ran away, or he saw the mirror and he saw his face in it and he ran away. God's doing a great work. It's a very powerful work. It's a work that has to be unveiled by the Holy Spirit. But there are diversities of operations or diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. This is the key. It is God who works all in all, not man who works all in all. Listening? It is God who works all in all. In the Amplified version of the Bible, that word works is described as inspire and energize. Inspire and energize. Inspire and energize. That is the kind of work that God wants to do. He wants to inspire you and he wants to energize you into those things, into all in all, into absolutely everything. Amen. So what is God trying to do here? Let's cross-reference to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Where are we coming from? Look at verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gift is Christ. The Holy Spirit takes that and he unveils that to us in a whole variety of realities. Some of them result in us standing in leadership positions as pastors, as evangelists, as teachers, where we are called to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. But every person in the Christian church is called to learn how to become a minister, to serve in a capacity that God is going to build inside of them, so that they have a purpose in eternity. And that's the key. This is why you cannot muck it up. Because God is building and designing something that is going to be developed in your life in all eternity. I am 53 years old this year. I'm very excited about what God wants to do in my life. Because I can see it, I can know it, I can sense it. But it took a long time to come there. And I'm asking you to wait. That doesn't mean you do nothing. But wait and listen to what God is doing. We all start from different levels and different beginnings. But whatever it is God is starting in your life, the ultimate intent is to make you a son unto him. To make you stand as a morning star in the heavenly places. To bless you with every spiritual blessing that he has ordained in your life in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. To teach you how to function by the Holy Spirit so that you will be a blessing to nations. Now you may look at yourself and saying, my goodness, I could drop dead tomorrow morning. Life's passed me by and here's this pastor telling me all these things. Is it real? It is real if you listen to the word of God. Salvation is a beginning. Salvation has been designed in purpose. But to realize that purpose, it has to come out of the heart of God, and it has to be manifested in your heart. And what is manifested in your heart must be sustained from the heart of God. And God does that by the Holy Spirit, and He does that in the name of Jesus. There is going to be no other pattern in which God is going to develop your being. He's not going to do it your way. He's not going to do it my way. He's always going to do it His way. And God's will is absolute. It's pointless arguing about that, pointless screaming and throwing a tantrum about that. The only person who's going to lose out is you. So say yes and amen and bow down before Him. That's the smartest thing to do. And then ask Him to change your heart so that you will be in agreement with His will. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3 that you can delight in the fear of the Lord. So there is a reality where you can obey God with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. And you will take delight in it. But that has to come to you from the heart of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ went to the cross because He saw the joy that was set before Him. In the Holy Communion passage, Luke chapter 22, verse 15, Jesus says, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, how on earth do you take delight? How on earth do you have fervent desire before you suffer, especially when you know how you're going to suffer? And that suffering is just a few hours away. And He actually says there, with fervent desire, I have desired. Now, how on earth is that possible? That's what we are talking about. That's what God manifested in the heart of Jesus Christ. And that is the basis of all of us becoming obedient to God, our God. Obedience is not by the law. Obedience is by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. I mean the Holy Spirit. God's designed a reality where you can take delight in the fear of the Lord. Therefore, all of us can obey God and we will enjoy obeying God. All of us can love God and we can enjoy loving God. And if you enjoy loving God, what's the problem, brother? But you have to wait on God and let Him do the work within you. If you rush around like a bull in a china shop and break all the china, there's nothing going to be left. So listen, there's a whole universe of reality that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to you. All right? The Holy Spirit is your helper. He is your sustainer, your strengthener. He is your comforter. You see, in all of those names, all of those realities of the Holy Spirit, God is telling you how the Holy Spirit will work with you so that you can realize all these things. The ultimate intent of God is that you will be blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before Him. God chose us to be holy and blameless. Because He chose us, He will fulfill it. Because that is His purpose. Amen. So remember, as we move into thinking about moving into ministry, it is partnership with the Holy Spirit. It is relationship with God. Relationship with God unveils by the Holy Spirit. It is defined in Jesus Christ. The whole idea of relationship is defined in Jesus Christ. His relationship with the Father is the blueprint for your relationship and my relationship with the Father. His relationship with man is the blueprint for your relationship and my relationship with each other. So all these things you have to take hold of and practice it, right? God's put you with a husband or a wife. Both are imperfect. Now, what do you need in order to make that marriage work? You need to find out what Jesus has got. If you just look at what you have got and what she has got, or what he has got and what you have got, all you're going to find out is how inadequate you both are. Of course, always it points to the other person, isn't it? And that's why you need the Lord. Now that's where you find out what God has given you by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. So you walk in your marriage by the Holy Spirit. Now that doesn't mean you're walking in some airy fairy plane, half zonked out, half spaced out. You're not sure you're coming or you're going. That's not walking by the Holy Spirit, for heaven's sake. That's why God gave you the Word. The Word is intelligent. The Word is wise. The Word has got knowledge. The Word has got understanding. The Word has got strength. The Word has got power. The Word has got character. The Word carries with it the nature of God. None of those things are illogical things. God has created His universe, and everything is designed. It is designed with precision. Look at the eye that you have. It is the most precision engineered instrument in the entire universe. All of man's engineering cannot even begin to compare with what's engineered into your eye. This is our God. This is our Father, who is also our teacher. What else do you want? Who else do you want to teach you? And He will give you the anointings to enable you to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So what's the problem? Theoretically, there's no problem. But our focus is on what we want versus what God wants. If you will just turn it around and say, Lord, teach me what you want and enable me to respond to what you want. And Lord, have mercy on me when I'm unable to do that. And He will do it. It will not be comfortable, but it is absolutely necessary. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has got much to bring into our lives. What is the first thing? Diversities of gifts. What's the diversities of gifts for? So that there will be varieties of ministries. All right. And what is the purpose of the diversity of gifts and the variety of ministries? Is so that there will be a diversity of operations. So many different kinds of things God is going to work. Hello guys, growing in God is a fun thing. It is exciting. It is interesting. It is challenging. We use all these words doing silly work in the world we live in. This is real good stuff. This stuff grows on you. This stuff does not disappear as you grow older. This stuff gets richer and richer as you grow older. It builds. Everything that God builds in you builds up and builds up and builds up. He builds an altar. He builds a temple. He's building the tabernacle of your being. So many different pictures are used in the scriptures to describe what God's purpose is with you. It's a phenomenal purpose. So don't fall victim to your carnal desires. That's foolishness. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1. Whenever we decide to disregard God and do our own thing, that is what God calls a fool. So many things to realize from God. God is a creator God. So God can create in you things you don't have. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. What do you want? What do you want? You want the mind of Christ? It has been given to you. That's the will of God. So what is the mind of Christ? Ask God to tell you about it. Teach you, expand your heart and your mind. Cause you to change. Cause you to understand. You know, when the Holy Spirit flows through you, Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Have you seen a river flow or not? Hello? Have you seen one river flow or not? Can you see rivers flowing out of you? You know what God is talking about or not? We think it's a spiddly old tap water from there running somewhere. Come on, guys, that's what he's using language for. You know, he's telling you something. He's telling you something that your human mind cannot conceive. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we bless you and thank you for what the Holy Spirit brings to us, Lord. An awesome variety, O God, of giftings, an awesome variety, O God, of ministries, O God. An awesome variety, O God, of operations, O God. Channels through which, O God, the giftings will flow in ministry, Lord. And the reality is an awesome reality. Rivers of living water flowing out of each one of us. And how awesome will be the commingled flow of a believing body of Christ, Lord. How awesome is the destiny of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are indeed His body. We have to be His body. The fullness of Him who fills all in all. Teach us to respond to that reality in an individual capacity, and most importantly, Father, in the collective of Lord, of being members one of another. Teach us to understand, O God, that the anointings that manifest when two of us get together and three of us get together multiplies, O God. So, Lord, it is in the multiplication that our destiny stands, Lord. So enable us to understand this, enable us to move into it, Lord, and enable us, O God, to bring our carnal nature that stands as a hindrance to all this, so that, Lord, you can transform us and change us, so that you can take our flesh, and, Lord, we can see, O God, that flesh being crucified, so that we will rise to become, O God, by the Spirit, people who walk in freedom and liberty, Lord, of the truth, Lord. So bless us, bless the church, so that we will rise to become all that you have ordained us to be, Father, creatures of destiny, in Jesus' name. Amen.